welcome to MC Who, the official podcast of the unofficial movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My name is Delayed Justin.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say.
And
And I am unmuted Andy.
And if you love comics, if you love movies, or even if you just love
The slow internet connection.
This show is for you. I panicked in the moment. I couldn't think of anything because it was so delayed. That's really my favorite new part of the show.
We really salvaged that intro, huh?
Yeah. People loved it. Welcome back for another episode. I guess, what are we on? Season 2, episode 5 now. Getting up there. This is our overall 30th episode. Not including like bonus episodes and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right.
But yeah, we have a great guest on today and we'll just get right down into it. Without further ado, let's welcome Casey.
Casey!
Hello. I'm buffering Casey.
Buffering Casey. Hey,
nice.
Look at that. It goes with the theme. Very cool. Casey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Casey. I'm out here in Denver, Colorado, still in quarantine, surviving pandemic, just like everybody else.
For real. Good. I don't want to get too dour, so we'll just breeze right over that.
Yeah, it's casual we'll now.
Good.
Good. Casey, talk to us about your fandom. Have you ever read a comic book?
I have read a comic book.
More than one comic book?
Yeah. I didn't really read them so much as kids. I kind of did what all stubborn, strong-willed children do and just do whatever my parents didn't want me to do. And they very much supported me reading comic books, so I got bored of it as a kid. And then once the MCU started, like with Iron Man, RDJ is always been one of my favorite actors. So I watched that in theaters about a dozen times and got back kind of into Marvel comic books at that time. And I went through all of Invincible Iron Man when that came out. And
yes. That
kind of reignited my fandom.
I love it. That's awesome. I'd say that like Andy and I are pretty much in the same boat. I mean, I read comics a bit when I was like a young teen, but I didn't really, obsess over it until I became a man.
That's what makes you a man.
Thank you. Not many would admit that, but I'm proud. I'm happy that you did. Are you a bigger DC, Marvel, Image?
I kind of naturally gravitated towards Marvel because that's what got me back into reading comic books. But I actually really like the indie stories. I go to Comic Cons to sell my own artwork and I kind of just pick up standalone issues at, people who have only written one comic book. I pick them up at their booths and read through those. And those have been some of my favorite stories.
Yeah, nice. Agreed. I love it. Okay, favorite Marvel character?
Oh God, I wish I had time to prepare for this answer.
Sorry, I sprung it on you.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stick with Iron Man, and I also really like Ironheart, and I've been reading some Ironheart.
Yes,
Riri Williams.
She's amazing.
That storyline, I think Iron Man in general is my favorite story.
Perfect. Well, looking at the list right now, if you roll an 18, Ironheart is currently 18 on the list right now. So there's a 1 in 20 chance that you get to write her movie.
That's pretty exciting.
So yeah,
and
I guess
these two get picked up by Kevin Feige and they get produced, correct?
That's right. Yes. Yeah, okay. we have a great track record with Feigs. I call him Feigs.
Yeah, you guys are close like that.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and roll. I'm going to screen share here with you. All right, roll that 18, Casey. Here we go.
Oh, it's a 2.
A 2. Okay, hang on. Let me get the screen share going. Uh-oh.
Did it go?
Uh-oh. No, give me a second. It's okay. Not working. Hold on. Please hold for this important message.
I mean, you can just announce it. It's fine.
Your screen needs to learn to share.
I know, right? What a dick.
I'll take this time to plug a local Joyride Brewing out here in Edgewater, Colorado. Shop local, you guys.
Wow, nice. That looks tasty.
Shop
IPA local. Experience.
Yes.
Mmm, delicioso. Okay, I think I got it. Hang on.
Okay.
Let's try it again. There it is.
What was the number
Share
two?
Share that.
There we go.
Oh, I got a... Oh, okay. Miss America is our hero.
Miss
for the day.
America.
Miss
okay,
America.
First...
That's fun.
I'm going to stop screen sharing now.
Okay.
First reaction. Casey.
I just think of beauty contestants... beauty pageant contestants and how they all want world peace. So it kind of checks out.
That is a great superhero name. Now that I think about it. Yeah. Andy, yeah. First reaction.
Yeah. She takes her answers to the question very seriously. So yeah, she's
her answers to the
question. I could see like the tiara being a something she could throw, and like use the sash as like almost a lasso situation.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be fun. What is it for awesome. Real, though?
Well, I know a little bit about her, but I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break and come right back with a little more information, because I think there's a lot to dive into with this one. So I know that she is a dimension-jumping badass chick. We'll get into this in a second. We'll be right back. And we're back with lots of information on Miss America.
Here she is. That's gotta be the theme song, right?
She is quite something. This is a powerful damn character. I love it. First appearance in Vengeance number 1 of September 2011. She kind of went through what I consider to be a soft reboot, though. So she started out as kind of like doing one thing, and then I feel like they kind of like morphed her into what she is now. But let's go ahead and talk about, just who she is. So she's actually an alien from another dimension. Is that
dimension?
Yeah.
She's from a place called the Utopian Parallel. And she was raised by her mothers there, but her mothers sacrificed themselves in order to
seal a black hole, essentially.
Yeah, close up the black holes. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm kind of getting like a little bit of a Themyscira vibe, like how it's like a matriarchal society.
I totally, I agree with that. And I'm kind of already feeling, without getting ahead of ourselves here, I'm already kind of feeling like a Wonder Woman, Superman kind of morph thing. I'll get to that in a second, thought on that. But somehow America, her name is America Chavez. Somehow she has inherited or absorbed all of the powers or all of her powers from this thing called the Demiurge, which is this like... magical presence of time and space. Explaining this right?
That's what I got. It's an ambient.
Makes as much sense as anything else.
Magical presence.
Sounds good.
The science checks out.
Yeah, I mean, we've done the tests. Anyway, she eventually decides that she wants to become like a hero of sorts, but her home world of the Utopian Parallel, it's a utopia. And very much like Casey said, like Wonder Woman, she decides, hey, I think I will do better. I can do more out in the dimensions, you know, out somewhere else.
Somewhere that's not perfect.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I like that. So she goes and she ends up finding her way to what is known as Earth 616, our universe.
That's us.
Yay!
And she there joins a thing called the Teen Brigade. The Teen Brigade.
Tambergrad.
And she serves as co-leader, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens there with a couple of the other brigaders.
Brigadiers.
The Brigadiers, thank you. They defeat, like, the young Masters of Evil, which is, okay. They go up against Kid Loki at one point. There's a whole bunch of just deep cuts that happen with them. Eventually, she finds her way onto a team called, it happens in a, I'm not going to explain any of this. She's on the team called the A-Force for a while, which is like an all-female Avengers team. But that happens inside of like a pocket universe that nobody remembers. So anyway, point is, currently, in current comics, she's on a team called the Ultimates. Along with, basically, the Ultimates are a team made up of the most powerful heroes in the world. So you have Captain Marvel, you have Blue Marvel, who we've done on the podcast before. You have, who are the other ones? Black Panther, I believe, is on the team. Spectrum. Have we done Spectrum before?
That sounds familiar.
I think, did we talk about Spectrum?
Spectrum, like, turns into light?
Yeah. She's actually, she's teased in the Captain Marvel movie. So, Captain Marvel's friend, and I can't think of her name, last name Rambo. It's
Maria Rambo.
Maria. Her daughter, Monica Rambo, becomes Spectrum. Superhero Spectrum. So, anyway, yeah, just tons of powerful beings on this Ultimates team. But I think Casey said it earlier off mic, but the best thing I think for us to do is, because she's been a part of so many teams and there's so many new characters we could introduce, but I think the best thing is to focus on her as a character and really what she's all about. So so let's think about that. I guess let me start by saying what I was talking about earlier with the Wonder Woman, Superman tie-ins. I think Wonder Woman is obviously, there's some parallels there that can be drawn from. The Superman thing, I wonder, instead of her just like finding this world and whatnot, what if she is instead some sort of, we have two ways to go about it, I guess. We can rewrite her story a bit to where she's a little more Superman-esque. Maybe her mother sacrificed themselves to get her out. And then now she's was like, you know, a baby in the 90s kind of floating through space or whatever it was. And she runs into Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel brings her to Earth to take, you know, and she's like raised in America with some family. And that's, I'm kind of more interested in why she's called Miss America.
Yeah.
And like why there's like this patriotic aspect to her clothing and everything like that. So I'm getting a kind of a Superman vibe from it, with like the alien being raised in the farmlands to be like but like something along those lines that would be more her story, but still, but maybe, you know, maybe her mother sacrificed themselves to get her out, but there is still a Themyscira somewhere out there. There's the utopian parallel still exists. She just can't access it anymore. And maybe that's part of the movie.
Well, yeah, I'm curious if she knows she has these powers, like when she gets to Earth first, or if she kind of discovers them as she needs them.
I would maybe think that her dimensional kicking portal opening power isn't fully formed or isn't fully realized until later in the movie, or else she would probably just go back, maybe, or
like wherever she wanted. Yeah.
I like that. And at the sake of this falling too much into an origin film feel, I mean, it is an origin film, but, you know, trying not to fall into the same tropes that most of these teenage superheroes fall into. I do think we need to like have her develop her powers over time, and maybe, you know, apparently, because, so let's talk about her powers. We didn't talk about that yet.
Oh yeah.
strength, durability, the power of flight. She's got like superhuman speed. She has she can basically like she has developed the ability to make an enemy burst into tiny star fragments with a punch. So she's got like super punches. Her whole aesthetic basically is just like about stars, which is why she's all about like stars and stripes and all that kind of thing. But she is, she can be, and she can also project a large star bursting out of her that, you know, could damage even Captain Marvel. So,
and she can kick open holes in reality to travel the multiverse.
And that is the big one. That's kind of like the cool one, the most important one.
It has to be a kick.
Right.
She literally like drop kicks, but she like Spartan kicks
reality.
and I think that's where the movie has to end, right? I think that it has to be her like starting a team or being, you know, whatever it is, she will travel realities, travel through the dimensions. Maybe she's trying to find home or whatever. But I think most of the movie needs to take place on our Earth.
Yeah. I think
maybe that's a mistake.
Does she know that she has this capability to open reality and she just can't because she'd never finished her training because her mother sacrificed, and so she the whole time is her trying to like figure out how to unlock that.
Yeah.
There was also a very interesting thing that I saw in her biography where it talks about her mother's, that their particles being smeared across the multiverse itself. And I thought that was really interesting because I think it kind of leaves the option available for some sort of communication still to take place.
And there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. The pieces. So her mother's sacrificed himself. They must have been very powerful to do this. Yet she gets all of her powers from the Demiurge, which is, we got to figure out where that fits in and what that is. Is this just like an entity or is it a place that she draws power from?
It says it's an ambient magical presence. So I feel like it's more of like a place rather than like a,
it's the force,
like a, not like a creature or like a species or anything like that.
Okay. Okay, cool. I like, okay, so we have our beginning of the movie, right? With her,
her mother's
Supermaning, her mother's basically like destruction across the utopian parallel, and her mothers are kind of like giving her the last hugs and kisses, and she's a toddler, and you know, they we see them, we see both of them together kick open a portal or something to send her through another dimension, I guess. So we kind of tease that little power in the beginning, and then we basically follow her through the rift, and she's like floating out in space, and we see her mother's like turn and face like just this oncoming explosion or whatever it is, right as the rift seals. And now she's just a baby floating in space. And I think maybe we kind of pan out and that's our title credits, you know,
she's just
like a baby floating in space. What the fuck?
Like if she could like do like a well, fuck ... That's when she.
And it just goes larger and larger in space. So she's like a little speck.
Potato.
Slowly panning across the screen.
But this is, okay. Help me out here. Captain Marvel took place in the 90s. Was it like 95 or does it, we know?
I don't know.
I feel like I ask this question all the time. anyway, let's just say if that happens in the 90s, Captain Marvel's kind of roaming the world and whatnot. She's doing different heroic things out in space that we'll find out for sure, like in the next Captain Marvel movie or something. But across, you know, she finds this baby floating out in space, not sure what to do with it. she takes it to America, to America. and who does she leave it with? Who did she give it to?
I want at least a scene where she's like, she's walking around with this baby and she is like in the middle of Kansas and she sees like Kent household and she's like, nah.
No.
And it flies off somewhere else.
Well, she sees it and then she's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And then she sees like a little boy just like running through the field. She's like, nah, they got their hands full.
Yeah, that's great.
Does it need to be the Midwest? I mean, I feel like that's a little too
I really liked that they had Rambo. Is it Maria?
Maria's the mother and then Monica is the daughter.
I like that they had them in Louisiana and I liked that setting. I think that would be a cool like origin story, like a little swamp.
So do you think
Tom?
She doesn't give her to Maria though, does she?
How does I don't know how Spectrum becomes Spectrum.
I know, like, but is that too close?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're literally raised together like sisters. I don't know. It's cool. But then we have to have Spectrum be like a prominent character in this. I feel like that's a little
too much crossing lines. Too many people. I just feel like as she came from like a matriarchal society, so she would probably be respond better to that kind of upbringing. But I mean, she could just be given to a random family. But I don't know if Captain Marvel, if that would be within her character to do.
Something could happen too, where like she's trying to find a good place for her. And, you know, she's, America is so young that she does something with her powers that makes Captain Marvel lose track of her. Like now she's on Earth, but she still doesn't necessarily
she, like,
have
super
like
speed and she just like crawls away super fast.
Yeah.
Or maybe she gives him to Fury. Yeah. She gives her to Fury and he just places her somewhere.
I was wondering if it's just through S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. I mean, obviously Captain Marvel knows this baby probably has some sort of powers if it's able to float in space.
Surviving in the vacuum of space.
So I wonder if she just goes to Fury and he places her with a family that he knows will like raise her right, but also S.H.I.E.L.D.'s constantly keeping tabs on her, I guess. Or even maybe S.W.O.R.D. is keeping tabs on. Ooh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What if she goes to Abigail Brand? Nah, I don't know. Maybe not. And she's raised on the starship, and I don't know. Let's just go with what we have. So Nick Fury places her with a family in, we'll say, Louisiana, I guess.
It's kind of just referential to the Captain Marvel universe that they would kind of be in the same area.
I'd be interested in like Texas as well.
Sure. Super patriotic. And maybe she does get into like some sort of like,
she always gets into scraps with the,
all of the other kids in school are like doing like, what is it? Like beauty pageants and stuff. What is it called? Like to actually do like Miss America.
Oh yeah.
Like there's like Miss America, like junior and stuff like that. So like growing, but like her parents are like, no, she won't be doing any of that.
Yeah. Little Miss El Paso.
Right.
Maybe it's like a family that has had something happen to them as a result of the Avengers actions where they don't have a child anymore or something like that. And that's how Fury is aware of them.
Wow. And so that's good.
He knows that they would take care of her.
Yeah. That sounds cool. I like Texas. I think Texas is good. I think it's still got that same, like comfort feel to it, like Louisiana does, but it's not completely just going back to the same place that Captain Marvel took place. So let's go with Texas.
She's like always getting into scraps, like as she's growing up, because she's a Latino orphan living in rural Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Are her parents are Latinx then? Yes.
I mean, I would imagine that her name isn't America Chavez.
Yeah, I think she probably gets that from her family.
That's what I was kind of asking. I like that they name her America.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. Okay, can we just dabble a bit and tell me if this is over the line? But she is an alien, and we're mm-hmm. talking about Texas, mm-hmm. and there is obviously a lot of illegal aliens in Texas and in all of, well, all of America. Can we dabble with the fact that her parents are new citizens to the U.S. maybe, and they're dealing with being, like, you know, ostracized as illegals? I guess
even if they aren't illegally immigrated, they would still deal with that same ostracism from ignorant yes. people. So I yes. think that it will definitely be there and be around, even if we don't have to go super into, like, detail about their immigration story, but mm-hmm. it can just be referential to that struggle.
I like it. So mom and dad,
I feel like Nick Fury, if he knew them well enough to give them a baby, he would just give them, you know, papers.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't know that they don't need to be. I like them being immigrants.
Yeah, I think they should be immigrants, but
and they name their baby America.
Yeah.
And that's go ahead.
Can we have a short montage of Nick Fury trying to take care of the baby himself?
of course.
And then he's like, I can't deal with this shit.
Can we have one scene where she's like sucking on his glass eye?
I think that actually has to be the after credits.
The end credits. Okay.
And mm-hmm. at some point, like in the end of the movie, like he shows up and like tells her about some new initiative that he wants her with, where she's gonna be like dimension jumping with a team or something. Mm-hmm. He's assigning her a team. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Do I know you?" And he's like, you know, it's like, oh, we go way back. And then there's just like a montage of all this stuff.
Fury and baby alien America is like Mandalorian and Baby Yoda vibes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool. I like that. I like that a lot. So our act one is really just getting, like, we're kind of seeing her grow up through the years. So act one ends with her as a teenager in high school, dealing with all the typical teenage stuff, but also the fact that she's an alien with superpowers and people also think she's an illegal alien. And so just dealing with all of that shit. We can have tons of fun moments in act one with there being, you know, we kind of got like the Papa Kent and the, you know, the Mama Kent moments of, you know, kind of teaching her lessons about what it means to be humble and how to help others, even when you don't have much to give, and just like, you know, the good family, yeah. you know, values.
The things that make her like a hero without any of her powers. That's what she learns in like act one.
Right. Yeah. So, so act one is basically just growing up. Act two, we start dealing with some teenage struggles. I guess we need to figure out who is our adversary in this film.
I kind of want to be Kid Loki.
Kid Loki. Does he go to the high school somehow?
So, I'm intrigued by this. So, for those of you who don't know, Kid Loki basically... Loki in the comics, Loki, just like in Norse mythology, is able to change themselves into multiple different forms. You know, a snake. There's a long period of time in the comics where Loki is a female. There's a period where he is a child, and he seemingly is a hero at this point, or rather, he's not as evil. He's more of just a mischievous little like vigilante. I'm not opposed to the idea of it being Kid Loki. I think that it can't outright be Kid Loki. I think it needs to be some... Well, I guess my question is it like some kid in disguise at the school who like befriends her and is trying to pull some strings because Loki needs something from her? Mm-hmm. Maybe this is Loki... Let's assume some things about Loki, the Disney Plus show. It looks like he's in some sort of interdimensional prison, mm-hmm. Judging off of his like jumpsuit in number and all that stuff. So what if Loki needs her to get him out of prison, out of his interdimensional prison?
She can jump in there with her dimension altering abilities and break him out. So maybe, I guess, maybe she befriends like a projection of him.
Right. Is it like an astral projection that...
Or it could just be like a surrogate, like someone who was a big fan of Loki, like that weird kid in high school who was like, yeah, Loki was right.
All the Joker bros.
Yeah, exactly.
Hashtag Loki was right. The Joker bros. Yeah, I think that's good. I think just to throw out another option, you know, she does go head to head with the in-betweener, which would make sense with the dimension jumping thing as well. The in-betweener is an old character in the comics, very powerful, you know, Galactus level, practically powerful. Basically like represents duality, concepts of good and evil, and kind of lives in between the lines of life and death and, you know, reason and emotion and good and evil and all that kind of stuff. That's if we wanted her to have a, you know, galactic level enemy, I guess.
I mean, so maybe just kind of her actions in this movie might get her on the in-betweener's radar, but I feel like with her powers not developed, that might be too high level
to make the in-betweener is like the after credits tease of like who's jumping through dimensions. I'm the only one who's supposed to do that, you know. So I like Kid Loki, but I guess our question is, I mean, is there, so then basically he befriends her, he says like, I need your help, like I'm trapped in some other world or whatever, and she then goes on this like galactic quest to find him.
Well, I think she might have to like figure out how to use her power first. So maybe does she do like some like friendly neighborhood Miss America stuff and like try out her heroism like in a local level?
For sure. I definitely think that needs to happen. I guess I'm just wondering, at what point does she get Kid Loki? Or at what point does she get Loki out?
Yeah.
Is it the end of the movie, or is that like our halfway point, and then we actually have... Okay, a car. is it our halfway point, or do we actually have...
Well, I read she does team up with Loki at some point, and he like tries to manipulate her into fighting Wiccan, I believe is what it said. And then she ends up turning on Loki and befriending Wiccan. Which I feel like is something that she could definitely like, that is something she could learn from Kid Loki, our version of Kid Loki.
Sure.
Is like the duplicitousness of that. Like what makes you a hero, and like when is someone not worth your time anymore to help them? I like that Kid Loki would be like a human that convinces her to help real Loki. But I think we need to see her and Loki together for some time.
Sure. I like that Loki's astral projection of himself is a child.
Yeah.
A kid Loki. Because like he's like this mischievous like child at heart.
But I think the way that he could manipulate her is like, you know, she struggles with being, you know, viewed as this illegal alien. And maybe he doesn't treat her that way. So that's how he's able to get on her good side.
He knows what it's like to be an outsider with immense power.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the AV kid who has access to the projector screen.
Oh my God.
So
That's good.
It's just a little Easter egg.
Yeah. Is it?
Cause he's a projection, Justin.
Oh, I get it now.
See?
I hate you, Andy. Okay, so I guess what kind of stuff is she dealing with in her training then? You know, if and obviously I don't think Kid Loki tells her, "Hey, I'm Loki."
Right.
I think he's just like a friend who appears to her. Maybe she thinks this is one of her powers or something like that, but he's like a kid friend who helps her out in, like, you know, is she's like can talk to him or whatever, because he's just an astral projection,
right?
But I mean, like, you know, we see a couple things in Act Two of her and him, like, just kind of getting into some like shenanigans and antics against, you know, the teen.
Well, what kind of like crime is down there? It's a lot of like, I don't want to steer too much into like the immigration aspect and have her be like a voice for like illegal immigration, and then that would be like very poorly received by half of America. But that would definitely be what she's dealing with. So I don't know how much we want.
I mean, the people who dislike that aren't going to like that she's lesbian either. So yeah, I think we're fine with.
But also, like, kibosh.
They just won't come see this movie.
Any potential like romance between her and Kid Loki being like completely off the table at the start, which I like.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
I think that in her training, there should be a moment where they're like just practicing her strength, and she punches a punching bag, and it just disintegrates into stardust. Yeah.
So good. That's so good.
And then she's like, ooh, I should be careful with that.
I really like this for the long-term effects of her life in the MCU. The fact that she was trained by Loki. I think that's so interesting and cool as a character. Can the teen brigade be like a volunteer high school group that is like protesting against
the wall.
The wall. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Can that, and she like she's a part of this like her parents signed her up or something, and she's like, what? Okay. And she like believes in it, but she also like is super doesn't wanna
she's got
I don't know, maybe she's just
other issues. She's like, yeah, I'll go do your brigade thing.
Yeah. But then maybe the thing is the teen brigade actually does go up against
Or maybe they just get caught up in some stuff they shouldn't be, like some drug running or like something like that. They come across it and then they're in a tight spot and she has to get them out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Powers. So our act two, she's a teenager. We establish Kid Loki. She is training with him. He lies to her and tells her that this is part of, you know, who she's meant to be, and it's part of her training. And at the whole time, he's like identifying with her and relating to her and helping her. At the same time, he's also manipulating her. And I think that will come into play later.
He needs her to unlock her teleportation or, you know, time.
Right.
What is it called? Kicking holes in the reality of
that's what it's called. Yeah.
Let me look for the technical term.
I need to make check my notes here. he needs her to unlock that ultimately. So yeah, he's like basically her Rocky right now. Yeah. Her Creed.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So then, okay, we're getting to our halfway point here. So she's training. She ends up helping her small town in Texas. And her parents, you know, are concerned for her. And we get some of their like,
Hey, you're always antisocial. You're always talking to yourself. Because she's always
that too. That too. And I think that comes for sure in Act Two. I think Act Three is where they put their foot down. Like, hey, like you cannot, like obviously she uses her powers to save some kids or something like that. And although maybe people don't know it was her, it's like what happened here. Like something was definitely amiss or intriguing. And so her parents know, of course. And so this is kind of that moment where she has to like stand up and say like, I am like throwing my life away here. This is her moment where she says like, this town doesn't need saving. I have so much powers. I should be out there like the Avengers. I should be doing this and this and this. Maybe with Kid Loki's, you know, manipulation of the situation and everything, at this point she decides to run away. Or maybe in her anger, she goes to her room and she slams the door and she goes and kicks the wall and poof, you know, bamps herself into another dimension.
Or maybe she's like, her like brigadier friends are like, hey, come with us to this protest tonight at the wall. And she's like, no. I'm out of this town. And like on her way out of town, that's when she sees that they're in trouble. And that's what like ignites her powers.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot too.
She has to decide between like running away and pursuing her like destiny or like staying and helping her friends. And that's what ends up becoming her destiny.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So she gets in trouble with her parents. She decides she's going to leave. On the way out, Teen Brigade needs help. Do I stay or do I go? She stays. She helps them. And maybe I, you know what? It's a really cool image though. She runs. She's like, they're at the wall or something like that. Like the building of this wall. And she runs up and she's going to kick it because she punched that punching bag earlier. And she thinks, hey, like I can destroy this wall. I'm a fucking powerful person. Mm-hmm. And she runs up to it and she goes, tries to kick it. And she just like disappears into it.
Yeah.
And her friends are like, what the fuck happened? But now act three, we kind of have her going in this interdimensional journey a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have another location or do we cut straight to the prison?
I think maybe we should see her testing out this power a little bit.
So like I think it could be.
Though, like maybe she like jumps to like Paris or something like that. And then she's like, cool.
I think and it could be very chaotic and Doctor Strangey too, where mm-hmm. it's just like, you know, jumping from world to world and almost out of control. Like she doesn't know exactly what she's doing.
I love that.
Continually jumping from world to world.
Like, I love that. Yeah, I think it's just a montage.
Yeah.
We see some fun other little Easter egg worlds, you know, from the comics. Maybe the Marvel Zombies world, maybe
Planet Hulk.
Oh, that'd be dope. Maybe at one point she's literally just a two-dimensional comic book character.
Flies through the background of the fight scene in like Infinity War or something.
Yeah. That's good. So yeah, I think she's and the whole time Kid Loki's in her ear, you know, like helping her control it and like she's gotta calm down and she's gotta, you know, whatever it is. Because she was like, so worked up and that's
in her whatever, yeah.
Right. So she's gotta learn to like control her
demiurge
passion her demiurge her urges she's got to control her demiurges is that what you meant Andy did you just say that pun and I just missed it
no I mean it needed to come full circle so thank you for connecting the dots
well maybe too much but that's okay so anyway we get a little bit of this we get a little bit of like some close calls with her controlling this and then she's like, she just stops everything and she's holed up in some, I don't know, Paris. We'll say it's Paris. Yeah. Maybe she's holed up in some alternate reality Paris. And she's just kind of sitting in a room by herself and she's like trying to figure out what to do and everything. And this is where Kid Loki, you know, tells her like, well, you could come help me if, you know, that's something that a hero would do or something like that. And so she's like, oh my gosh, you're in trouble. Like what the hell is happening? And he kind of explains a little bit, but not really who he is, but just
like I'm being held captive or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then she now is determined to go help him. And so I think act three, we can expand on that a little more with her dimension jumping. We don't have time right now to figure out every one of those, but that's right. Fun.
We would get to know the brigade a little bit more, I think, and
there'd
be more scenes with them.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe who they're dealing with is like a local level villain of like, you know, some just a bully or like someone who's like in charge of an anti-protesting group or something like that that they've been dealing with, like as the brigade.
The local ICE officers.
Yes, correct.
Well, yeah, and I think all of the local stuff is Act Two.
Yeah.
And then kicking through the wall, we jump into Act Three, and I think we have a whole act of fun multiverse jumping. We don't even talk about that. And then Act Four, she gets to the prison, and it's time to go, and she, you know, she's just, like, tearing through the prison, and she finds him, and she, you know, she frees him, and the audience realizes, really, for the first time, oh my god, it's Loki.
Yeah.
And she feels deceived. I don't know. Does she know who Loki is? She's probably seen footage.
Yeah, probably.
Loki's probably like...
Did we decide this was set in the 90s or today?
This is today. So okay. she was
you've probably seen cell phone footage and, you know, YouTube, right? And everything of New York and
I think in like I think she was shots. Probably brought back to Earth like in maybe like the year 2000, 2001 maybe. Because Captain Marvel took place in the 90s, but then there's a huge span. Yeah. So that would mean she's... Okay, let's actually say she was brought as a toddler in 2006.
Okay, that way she's like 18.
16 and 2022. Yeah, so 17, somewhere around there.
Okay.
If I did my math right. Is that right?
That sounds right.
Okay. So anyway... Where were we? So she helps Loki escape from prison.
Yeah.
So what does he do? I mean, like, he thanks her and then he like he's escapes, right?
Yeah.
He escapes, though.
So, I think she probably like punches and kicks her way through the prison, though, right? So is much of an escape, or does he just kind of like able to stroll around and like have a chit chat, or do they need to book it out of there?
No. Yeah. I like the idea that they have time to chat at the prison. But obviously like reinforcements are going to be sent in and everything like that. But maybe either he escapes or he needs her to help him escape. Yeah. Still, like to help Bamf out.
Yeah. Maybe he got his like magic. I don't know. He was able to project, so he can't have that much blockers on him, but.
So she feels betrayed. He's explaining to her what's happening and everything. And he says, who was there for you? Who was helping you this whole time? And she's like, you know, arguing back and forth. You did that for yourself and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, reinforcements come. And it's like, okay, well,
get out of here, Steve.
You can argue with me here, or you can help us get out right now.
Yeah.
And he says, if you leave me here, they're going to kill me or something like that. And he knows that she won't want that to happen to anybody. So or something along those lines. And they
need each other to get out.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
A little
tag
team battle.
Yeah, like, maybe
I have to team up with you here or be in prison myself. So she has to team up with him to get out of the
prison. I like that. So now we have a little bit of like the two of them on the run, running from Dimension Police. and I guess time's if they're team. If they're teaming up, I guess my question is, in the end of this movie, does she fight Loki? Or
I don't like that idea. Or maybe like she's like dimension hopping and then she hops him right back to like Thor or something. He's like, fuck, no.
Not again. That's good. Because I want her to have some kind of final battle. And I guess Loki makes sense because he is very powerful.
Yeah.
What if
like a Mysterio battle scene, like using astral projection and like space manipulation and all that weird stuff he does? He's gotten so many battles already. I don't want to give him another one, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe all their hopping though draws the attention of what's the in between man? Two betweener? What's his name?
The in betweener.
Yes, maybe all the hopping and everything draws his attention, and now she has to either not like defeat him, but like escape from him and hide or something like that. It might
just
be
thing, was the thing that attacked the utopian parallel an entity, or was it just like their universe collapsing in on itself?
I think it was just a black hole that they like sealed up. So it didn't spread and devour more.
Okay.
And that's like what.
But I like where you're going with that. What if, if she gets all of her powers from the Demiurge, what if it fails her somehow? What if she loses her powers at one point? Or, I guess. Yeah, is there something devout? Well, that'd be Galactus, I guess, and I don't want to go that big in this movie. but what if? Okay, so what if Loki? He tricked her to help him get out of prison, but he's got a bigger game he's playing at, and so, step one was getting him out of prison. Step two is that, something is like maybe what if Loki really has changed his spots a bit, you know what I mean?
He's aware of like a bigger danger to the universe at large, and that's why he needed to get out so badly,
right? right? Or because I want somehow to mirror the beginning with kicking open the portal and saving people and then like sacrificing herself, basically. Of course, she'll get out in time and survive, but, you know, being willing to do that. And she doesn't even know her mother's and everything like
right.
that. But
right.
But still like,
that's like
mirroring that image.
Her, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question.
See where they pay Feige the big bucks.
Right. Yeah. it's hard when you get to like this big, like galactic scale.
Yeah. How do we make the end worth it? And also have the stakes high enough, but also no one die.
Right. So what if
you can always kill Loki? We do that every movie.
I know, right? I do like the idea that Loki is not the big bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's more intriguing if, yes, it's revealed to be Loki. Holy shit, he's been manipulating her this whole time and everything. But there is some bigger thing. And, you know, it looks bad in this moment, but mm-hmm. actually this is for the greater good. And so he needs her help with something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he's on the run. He's in a prison. Who is the prison being run by? And is the prison a bad thing? You know, like,
right, like is it being run by someone else that we would consider a villain also?
Right. It doesn't make sense for the in-betweener to run the prison.
No, he's not really a bureaucratic type.
It would have to be some sort of dimension, dimensional figure that is able to, I mean, there's the Living Tribunal, that is like judge, jury, executioner. Yeah.
What about those gold people from Guardians? Are they anything?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Like Adam Warlock's people. That could be good.
The Guardians universe opens up so many, like yes. It could be like a Kree prison or something like that. They don't like aren't known for like dimension hopping or whatever, but they have like the technology too. Be out there.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the gold people.
I just like those characters.
Yeah.
Gold people.
Whatever they're actually called.
I know. I'm trying to look it up right now.
Sovereign? Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Sovereign? That is. Yep.
Okay. So what if the Sovereign have accessed interdimensional
video game
transport and a video game, yeah, and they and so they're like they are projected to be like global or not global, like I guess multiversing dominating beings, and they need to be stopped, I guess.
Maybe as they're escaping like from wherever the prison was, we can see like the universe of the Guardians is like now being overrun by this Sovereign, and now they're kind of ruling everything, and that's their plan for the rest of the multiverse as well.
What if, okay, so here's a thought. Loki has died, okay? So Loki officially died. So how is he in this dimensional portal thing, right? Like, how is he in this other thing? What if this is, he's existing from, like, he exists on, like, a higher plane now? Like, Loki is, like, a Galactus-level, like, being, like, an entity? And so he has like a higher calling. He has this higher position in the universe now. And so, he's trapped in prison, by the sovereign, because,
maybe he says they threw him in there because they thought he was ugly. Like, it's a stupid reason that he's in there. And that's why he's like, just, I need to be out of here. Like, I shouldn't be in here.
Yeah, this is going to be a longer conversation, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Sovereign, like, since they, I mean, they've had this grudge against the Guardians, and so maybe they want to, like, destroy Earth because they know that's where Peter Quill is from, and they want to get revenge on him.
I like that. At the same time, I hate it, because I think, I don't hate it, I'm sorry, Andy, I think...
No, it's fine, Justin.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't think the threat can be to Earth because Loki wouldn't give a shit about Earth.
Yeah.
Loki, when Loki is thinking about things, he's thinking about the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. We're talking about universe shattering things, dimensions, you know. So this has to be some sort of dimension threat. It can still be the Sovereign if they have like access to some sort of dimensional
or whatever about, it is. Like Dormammu, is that from the Doctor Strange?
Dormammu.
Dormammu, yes.
He's like an evil dimensional thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah.
Maybe he like broke out of the time loop when Thanos snapped or whatever, so he's like a threat again.
I like that. That's think, good.
Didn't Doctor Strange release him from the time loop in return for never coming back to... That wasn't at the bargain?
I think evil...
Well, from ever going back to Earth, die. Though, right?
Right.
Wasn't it that he was banned from like coming back to Earth? So he can still escape and rule the... Look, we got to finish this thing. So yeah. I'm just going to say we go with... A mixture of Dormammu and the Sovereign. They team up.
Dormammu is the threat.
and so in the end, Loki and Miss America team up to save the whole her whole universe, all mm-hmm. universes,
the multiverse yep.
from the threat of Dormammu. We're going to go with that for now. We stumbled a little bit on the end. Honestly, I think it's a pretty solid movie overall. I think we got to figure out the ending a little better, but it's good. So then in the end, you know, Miss America, Loki, of course, like, you know, she's like, I have to take you in. You're still a, you know, whatever. And he's like, no, I exist on a much higher plane now. Like I, and sure enough, okay, like maybe.
Go back to Nick Fury.
right. So for whatever, you know, he escapes somehow and he does live in some like otherworldly thing now as some otherworldly thing. She goes back home, hugs her parents. They love her.
Aww.
All is well. But they agree that they've been, you know,
America's fixed and nobody's racist anymore.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yay. They happy did ending. It. While you were gone.
we solved racism.
Nick Fury obviously has been tracking her, and by Nick Fury, I mean whoever the hell's running S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever at this point. Yeah. Who knows who it is?
Nick Fury's
we'll say,
on like
we'll say it's Nick Fury. I know, yeah, we don't know who it is at this point, but he's been tracking her, and he knows that she went out in space or whatever into the other dimensions, and so then he assigns her, he basically asks her to you know she's ready for the big leagues, and so she leaves. Small town Texas, the Teen Brigade, you know, they have a happy ending and everything. And the wall is torn down.
Into college.
Okay. I think that's good. And then we established our two after credit scenes. We have Nick Fury flashback with the baby. Yeah. And then we have the in-betweener. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's a chess match between the in-betweener and Loki.
Yeah.
And they're talking because they're like these two like high level beings now.
And moves his little pawn forward, we like it flashes over to Miss America like walking.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that's good. I love it. Cool, that's great. Fun. Let's go ahead and take another quick break and we'll be right back with a little interview with Miss America herself. Be right back.
And welcome to the final round of the Miss America pageant. And now the most exciting part of the pageant, the interview questions. First up, we have contestant Miss America. And I will let you know, despite your name, you will not be shown favoritism by the judges, Miss America.
That's fine. I don't know how I got here. I think I fell through a split in the reality of time.
Fascinating. Question number one, Miss America, describe your perfect date.
Well, do you view time as a flat line or a circle?
You bet. I do.
Just kidding. I think she would definitely be an activist of some sort. And we'd probably go out looking for some social justice.
Ooh. Trendy. Love it. Love it. All right, Miss America. Next question. What animal would you be if you were an animal?
Probably a manatee.
Oh, okay. It's not a typical pageant answer, I'll say.
It's just, they're so peaceful and they're vegetarian, so.
Oh, healthy. Yes. Amazing. So good. All right, Miss America. Next question. What do you value most in life?
I think fairness and also money.
All right. We really like that answer. Coming from
no money, I really value money's presence in my life.
And for the final question of the interview process here, Miss America, we would like to ask if you could have one wish, if you could wish for one thing in the world, what would you wish for?
Good question, Jeffrey.
In this world?
Thank you, Colleen.
One wish in the world. And no wishes is off the table for more wishes.
You know the rules.
It's standard Miss America.
I just always have to ask every time someone presents me with a wish, I just check to make sure.
Yeah.
I think no more racism would be great.
Wow. Scattered applause from the audience.
Kind of similar to like Thanos, like half the population would just be gone.
Wow. All right, siding with Thanos. That is an interesting take. We'll see what the judges have to say about that. Tune in after this commercial break.
Oh, man, that was good. That was great, guys. Very, very funny. thank you so much, Casey. You were amazing. That was so good. That was so good. Fun.
And now I'm just sad that we can't watch this movie now.
I know. Yeah, I'm with you.
Biggest regret every episode.
Yeah. Every episode, it's I want this day. To be a real movie.
Yeah.
We've had multiple suggestions from people to, you know, I would love if anybody wants to write a little screenplay of these movies and like send them to us. We'll do some sort of like script read or something like that. That'd be dope.
Like a table read, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be really cool. If anybody, even just a scene, if anybody wants to write a scene, send it in to us and we'll do it. It'd be fun. Casey, thank you so much for being on. Yeah. Where can our friends follow you?
I have some artwork on Instagram. My handle is Whiskey Ginger. It's whiskey.ginger in the middle. I'm also on Twitter under the same name.
And awesome. Casey's art is phenomenal, y'all. It's real good. I highly recommend it. And she also has a couple of different like Marvel pieces, I believe. Yeah.
And I try to have Comic-Cons again. I try to come to Kansas City as often as possible. So if you're local, maybe I'll see you. Planet Comic-Con or Kansas City Comic-Con.
Yeah. Hell yes. It's supposed to be, I think they rescheduled it for August or September year, I think. I think it'll be September. So. Awesome. And as always, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at MC Who Podcast.
Not Mick Who.
Not Mick Who. Guys, it's not Mick Who.
McDonald's won't let us do that.
No, we've tried. We've gotten sued already. But please leave us a review, subscribe, share with others, just in general, but also share this podcast with them.
Yeah, share your feelings. It's important.
But we'll see you next time. And until then,
I'm Andy.
And I'm Justin.
And goodbye to one and port all.
Oh, port all. I get it. Like a portal.
Yeah.
Casey, how do you feel about
being Miss America? You're gonna play Miss America.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I'd rather be Miss Canada.